This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time. Michael, I know you're not the biggest NBA guy in the world, but you know the name LeBron James, yes? You know that name?
Yes, I do.
LeBron James tears up last night over a tribute video that the Cavs put together for him as the Lakers were in town. The Cavs blew out the Lakers, always like that. That's good.
I like that too.
LeBron's teary-eyed, he's getting down, crying, doing very emotional, very much so. Buy or sell, this is the next year, not this year. Next year will be LeBron's last year.
I'm going to buy that.
The reason it won't be this year, we're going to do the whole song and dance at the end of every year. He's going to make it about himself. He's definitely going to announce in the offseason that he's retiring so that he can have every night be like the night he experienced in Cleveland last night. He wants, not all teams are going to put tribute together videos together for him. Miami will, Cleveland will, the Lakers certainly will.
Every time it's a Tuesday, they'll put a taco on there.
But there will be teams to honor him. And you know, if anyone ever wanted that, Mike, it would be LeBron James. He's going to make that announcement in the offseason, if he does, so that he can have the farewell tour. Nobody's ever wanted it more than LeBron James.
He loves himself He's not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan just left. And then came back. And then left. But I don't think he wanted the attention. I just think he wanted to play basketball.
He was the ultimate competitor. I don't think he hated the attention. He just didn't seek it out like LeBron does. I mean, Jordan, just a different guy. I watched Jordan. I was bandwagon Jordan, Mike. I was a little kid, and the Bulls were everything. I mean, I loved the Nuggets, but, you know, growing up, for me, the Nuggets didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. So you'd go to Denver Nuggets games, and you'd see Chicago Bulls stuff all over the place. And so I bought into it, but I didn't really understand what I was seeing most of the time. But Jordan just seemed to do things a lot differently. Buy or sell, the UNC Bears get into the win column tonight. They have Idaho tonight, Mike, your favorite Big Sky team.
Idaho!
Yeah, I figured you'd go there. UNC tonight, they're 2.5-point favorites against Idaho, who's kind of, they're right in the, a little above the middle of the pack in the Big Sky. We like
this
some Bears.
No more way.
We like, huh? This is here.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, you like it?
I like it. I won't put money on it because I normally don't. But I'd put money on it if I was a gambler.
Bears minus 2.5?
Yeah, whatever that means.
That means they got to win by 3.
Yes, they will win by a 3-pointer at least.
Okay, very good. I got to quit saying it after tonight, Mike. If they lose tonight, I can't keep saying this is too good of a team to be losing like this. But, I mean, look at all these games that they're close in. 81-77 to Northern Arizona. That one sucked because Northern Arizona's bad. 73-68 to Montana State. Good. Good team. 93-89 Sac State. Not so great. Portland State, the best in the Big Sky. Lost by 3. Weber State, 76-71. Montana, 88-79. Montana State, 89-75. That was kind of more of a blowout. But for the most part, every loss they've had, save for that one, has been a close game. They had a players only meeting on Monday afternoon per Brock Wisney on the Brock Wisney show. And, you know, sometimes those things can be taken as a negative. I feel like with this group, though, a players only meeting can maybe mean a good thing.
I'm going to go bold here.
Okay, go
I'm
bold.
I'm going to go bold. Brock Wisney gets the game ball.
He won't give himself a game ball.
He can't give himself a game ball, you know, politics, but he will get the game ball in spirit.
You've been around a lot of these players that I've done shows with. Brock's got to be like one of the coolest guys. And I'm not like all these dudes are cool, but
they are.
Brock shows up here every Monday, 10 minutes before his segment, maybe 15, raring to go. He's always about his team, and not to say these other guys weren't, but you know, even in a loss, he's willing to kind of joke around with us and mess around. It's not all serious. It's been a real cool thing to do that.
Yeah, he takes it out on people before he gets to us.
Maybe
which
so.
Which is totally not true.
Maybe, yeah.
He is actually a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, so you root for him.
So I don't know if he has darkness inside him, and if there is darkness inside him, I'd like to see it.
Why do you want to see it? Why are you
morbid
that way?
Curiosity.
Why are you like that?
I don't know.
Just a dark vampire creature. They're doing a new Dracula movie. Did you see any previews for that yet?
Another Dracula movie? How many is that this year?
I don't know, but I'm curious to see it. I would watch that.
I'm going to look it up.
There's a really creepy Dracula show on Netflix that came out several years ago. They did three mini seasons of it. The first season was really creepy.
Okay, it's directed by Luc Besson.
No, I don't know what that
Besson
is.
Or whatever. So I think I will watch it.
It's out in theaters. Do you go to the movies? You going to go to the moving pictures?
I will go to the movies this Saturday. There's a movie where this one gal and this one dude get stranded on an island and she's completely crazy.
Isn't that Rachel McAdams?
I
keep seeing previews of that. Like the boss is a jerk to her because, you know, he's whatever her job is, he's really mean to her. But then they get stranded on an island and she's suddenly like the one in control. Is that kind of how it's going to go? Is that a horror movie? Is she like bad to him?
I feel like it's going to be a suspense movie.
That'll be curious. I don't know if that's one I would put on the docket. My wife wants to watch the Jack Black, Paul Rudd remake, I guess, of Anaconda. That's out on Prime, I think, tomorrow night.
So the Dracula movie, Luc Besson is known for The Fifth Element, which I love.
That's a good movie.
And Leon the Professional and The Priest.
Ah, Leon the Professional
is
good, too.
Is played by Christoph Waltz,
who's awesome. He's in a bunch of those What's-His-Face movies.
Tarantino movies?
Yeah, Tarantino movies. Pretty good actor.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Very unique. But I've seen previews of that movie, and it looks really good. I don't know.
I'll watch anything that Luc Besson is involved in.
I don't. Yeah, that's the actor you're talking about?
No, the director.
Oh, okay. No, that looks pretty good. I would watch that. Last buy or sell, by the way, just to kind of finish up our conversation from earlier. Is there more to come in the Bo Nix Sean Payton saga? And I'm talking positively or negatively. Like someone's going to come out and say something else, or is this over?
I think we'll have a digital hug.
Like, did we even hear about it again? Like, the next time they'll get together will be OTAs. A reporter, if we don't hear them talk, a reporter will ask the question, are you guys, is there any bad blood there or whatever? And answer will be, I can't do a good Sean Payton impression.
I can't do it either.
Odds are it'll be, no, we're all good. And then Sean will call him Ferris Bueller or something, and then we'll move on.
And then his ankle will break.
No, why even put that out in the universe, Mike?
I'm anti-jinxing it.
I don't feel like... You got to be careful with these things. You got to be careful, man. Because this will come back to bite you.
I'm wearing my orange. My orange protects me.
Okay.
It protects my comments.
This is why... It's just the things that you say sometimes. Your orange protects you, and then you put on your little hat.
Now I have extra orange on.
Okay. I don't know. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Kevin Lytle's going to join us in studio here in about 15 minutes. Where do we go from here for Colorado State this season? I don't know. That's just like I'm very optimistic tonight that UNC can win at home. I was pretty optimistic about CSU for some reason against Utah State last week, but... The turnovers, and then last night, and I get it, San Diego State, and they forced turnovers, man. But the Rams just, they looked pretty rough. And it's hard to see that when we're just used to this team going dancing. But I guess last year, you know, it was the same story. They weren't going to get an at-large, I don't think. They had to win the Mountain West tournament in order to get in, but they had a superstar player. Those guys can make all the difference. Neat Clifford is, and we're seeing him do it in the NBA levels. Those kind of guys can make all the difference when you're trying to make a run. There's just not that guy on this team that you can say, dude, we're going to need 25 from you tonight. We're going to need you to make up for a bunch of turnovers and bad three-point shooting and all that. That's just that guy is not on this team right now. It won't be this year. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Buy or sell, the Hall of Fame will do something different now with their voters. They'll edit it again after this Bill Belichick thing.
You mean put Bill Belichick in this year? Or
No. They'll just change how they structure it.
They'll change it.
How would you structure it? Do you like how they structure it? Like, you only put five or six guys in every year or whatever? How would you change it? Could this be part of your little tough?
I know you have to go back in time because there are a lot of deserving people, like Denver Broncos, who have been ignored.
Who's been ignored for the Broncos?
It really depends, Channing. But like you just cannot ignore someone for stupid reasons. You can't leave out a T.O. because you don't like his attitude. Like, it's about the accomplishment.
This is a stupid question. Is Pat Bowlen in the Hall of Fame? Did he get in?
I don't think he did.
He never got in? I mean, as far as owners go, sure seems like Pat was one of the best.
Oh, he was posthumously inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2019.
Okay, I should have known that off the top of my head. You still remember when we went, like, you don't drink ever, but you had a sip of beer with me after we lost Pat Bowlen. You and I went downtown.
I did. It was like a Miller, and it was the worst thing I'd rather have gray milk again.
You didn't have what I had? I thought you just had like a craft beer, same thing I did.
No, I got the cheapest thing, and it was horrible.
Did you finish
horrible.
It? Did you finish the beer?
No. No, I had like a third of it.
Well, we went downtown to a pizza place that's no longer there. That was your hot spot.
Yeah, I think it was Right Coast. Yeah. Then it was Fusco. Now I think it's a guitar shop.
Do you still go down there sometime just hoping that they're going to serve pizza?
No. If I played guitars, I'd go down there and say, hey, do you have a lefty?
Yeah, that was, but that, I just remember that. It sticks out to me. But I, you know, this is the reason, like part of the reason I push hard on the when you know, just put them in. I hate that Pat Bowlen got in after he died. You know? Doesn't that bother you?
I mean, well, he had dementia. So, like, for a few years, he wouldn't have really known.
No, I guess, but that's not the case with everybody.
Yeah, there are some people that are deserving who pass away, and I get that, and you know, maybe, I guess, I don't want to say they age out. Like, they're just, it's gone so many years that they...
Do they do a thing in the Hall of Fame voting, like you run out of time, and then they basically say, if you're not going to get in this time, you're never going to get in? Do they do that?
I don't think so. And I don't like that.
I think the MLB does that, don't they?
They do. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Pete Rose, I think last year, the year before, officially ran out of time.
But I get that. I actually don't hate that. Because what changes in all those years when you have a great player in? I don't. He said, Chris, do actual Hall of Fame inductees vote? I don't believe so, no. No, because it's writers and contributors. Mainly writers. Like, there's probably 32. There's one from Denver, at least, I know. I believe Jeff Legwald is one of those guys. Which I don't... I have a lot of respect for him. I've been reading his stuff for years. I just don't... I don't think it's a good idea to have local beat writers be in charge of voting for Hall of Fame.
I'm going to be honest with you. If it was up to me, no matter how much I hate Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they'd be in the Hall of Fame.
You'd vote them
first
in.
Ballot.
Yeah, you'd vote them in.
I'd vote them in. And I think it should be, you should have an explanation for it, like why you think they go in, and it should be completely transparent. Like, if you have a reason why this player goes in before this coach, you better have a damn good reason. And it better not be, well, he cheated. It has to be, I feel this player impacted his team more than this coach impacted his team. And frankly,
yeah, you got to give us why you put that guy over that guy. Because they're not just doing yes or no anymore. They're doing, like, once they narrow it down, you got to pick 3 out of 5 guys. You got to tell me why you picked those 3 guys out of those other 2 guys. And I still kind of torn on should they make it public who the Hall of Fame voters are, but I don't know, man. The way sports people are, I mean, people rip each other apart over gambling nowadays. You don't think they'd be constantly going after Hall of Fame voters for not putting, like, Mike and I know Broncos fans don't seem as crazy, but Patriots fans might be a little nutty.
Well, yeah, everybody from that region of the country. That's why there are so many, like, really good comedians from Boston, because there's a lot of crazy up there.
Okay. That's the information. That's new to me. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 21 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. Kevin will join us, and we'll talk some Colorado State coming up. I really like what the Rams are doing on their social media, putting a picture to their – they have all their positions all put out, the quarterback room, the wide receiver room. I love that. So we'll talk to Kevin. Problem is, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in those pictures. There's a lot of new faces on the football side of things, and we'll get Kevin's thoughts as far as where Colorado State sits as a basketball team at this stage. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
No joker, no problem. Hear the Nuggets on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Still doing that Andre. Oh, for sure.
All right, Greg Penner spoke to the media. That was kind of went under the radar yesterday, Michael, but talking all things Broncos and how the season went and such. He was asked specifically about the retractable roof. What the plans were for the stadium, if that was still going, how that was going, and would they put a retractable roof on? And if they did put a retractable roof on, would they have used it in Sunday's AFC Championship game? I don't have the clip. I know I didn't send it to you, Mike. But Greg Penner did say, you know, as far as the stadium, it's coming along nicely. I don't think he committed to whether or not they're officially going to have the retractable roof, which I don't, you're out on that, right?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
They're all going to end up having it.
I know.
Yes, ooh. They are planning that. So yeah, he did say that. I didn't catch all his. For some reason, it was all about Bo Nix's ankle yesterday. Not a new stadium. Penner said, we're evaluating retractable roof options. In this case, you all saw the weather this year. It was fantastic until the last game. The NFL does have guidelines or rules around the home team selecting or choosing what they're going to do with their roof and when they can open or close it. So we'd obviously comply with that. In this case, we would have likely closed it ahead of time, given both the temperature and the potential precipitation. You mean they knew that the weather was going to get bad? So they should have kicked that field goal? That being said, who knows if that would have had any outcome on the game. Either way, this would have been more around just what was going to be good for the fans because it was pretty rough. There's a lot of fans like you, old school Broncos fans, that want to have snow. And there's not a lot of snow games every year, Mike, but you got to admit, man, there's something magical about watching a football game, seeing the snow come down. Like, that is kind of a cool thing in all football. My mother-in-law always says it. She always says her father, they always watch football, and every time there'd be a game on any game, if it started snowing, he just loved it. He, for some reason, just crack up laughing, seeing guys slide around out there. For me, it's just, there's something gritty about it. Just tough-nosed and reminds you of when football was even more rough and tough than it is now. But I do think the NFL is going to eventually get to the point, Mike, where all these stadiums are going to be. I mean, could you ever see Green Bay doing that? The frozen tundra? Because that's their thing, man. Could you ever see them getting away from that?
No, because that's a different type of ownership.
That's true. And that's owned by, fan majority kind of deal, right?
So yeah.
And if fans are in control, they're going to say, no, this is what makes us us. For Denver, the high altitude is what makes us us, right? It's not, how often do you actually have snow? I mean, look at this year, for example. We've barely seen snow on the ground. There's a lot of those years where you just don't have it. So for me, I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 on it. You've lost playoff games because of it, though. Don't you feel like if the weather didn't turn south in the second half, what does your gut? Now, I know your gut's going to tell you the Broncos win. But I'll even tell you, I think the Broncos find a way to pull that off if the weather doesn't get nasty. I mean, there was a terrible punt by the Patriots, put the Broncos in Patriots territory. And, make all the arguments you want about Stidy, but I have to think they come away with points there. And that might have been when the blocked kick happened? That might have been on that possession when that happened. Maybe it was earlier. But I don't know. There's a part of me that kind of just wants to see better football being played. And when it gets really nasty, there's a difference between flurries and it's not that cold. But that game on Sunday, very cold, wet, gross snow that's heavy. It's impacting everything. I saw a clip where Drake May's telling Josh McDaniels on the sidelines, and this is freaking tough, man. This is tough. And McDaniels is like, dude, just hang on. You got 6 more minutes until the greatest moment of our lives, coming up anyway, to make it to the Super Bowl. That was a bad game to watch in the second half. It was basically just who could punt the furthest and put you further away and the field control and the controlling of the field situation. So if I had to vote on it, probably yes. Now, Penner does point out the NFL has guidelines for home teams, so you can't just like up and close it or open it whenever you want. So the NFL kind of steps in. They view it from a TV aspect. So it's like, is this going to affect our broadcast? If it's a big Sunday night game, for example, and we got guys on the sidelines doing their Sunday night football thing, is that going to affect the broadast at all? The NFL is going to step in and tell you what to do with that. But the Broncos are looking at this stadium, Mike. Penner, the ownership, the Walton Penner group, they're not looking at just football. They're looking at how can we have things year-round to make more money off of this thing. And you can't really have concerts when it's below 32 degrees outside.
I will be for a dome if they have it completely privately funded. They've said it's going to be $2 billion privately funded, but there's speculation out there that, there's going to be taxpayer money, requested. Obviously for, infrastructure, for roads and things like that. I will be okay with the dome if they build the stadium themselves. Like, if they build it, they own it, and the taxpayers aren't on the hook for it, I'm cool with it.
Okay. I don't know. I've heard that they are going to independently do it. Is that not right?
That's what they've said, but I've seen an interview with a guy. Let me see if I can find his name. J.C. Bradbury, who is a he's an author, and he focuses a lot on sports, economics. He's an economics guy. And interview I actually saw last night was him talking about a lot of these stadiums and the economics of stadiums and how taxpayer-funded stadiums aren't actually beneficial to the city.
Yeah, fascinating. You'll have to send me that story if you can. But yeah, that was obviously a lot of the big discussion for Greg Penner was the new stadium and what that's going to look like. But it does sound like they're looking at the retractable roof. But Penner being very professional about it, saying, hey, you know, there's also NFL guidelines and rules. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that the NFL actually had guidelines to tell you. Because didn't when the Broncos, when Peyton Manning was there and they had to go to Indianapolis and it was cold, didn't they open up their retractable roof knowing that it could potentially mess with Peyton? I thought that happened. Am I wrong on that?
I believe that happened too.
Yeah, so is that something where the NFL, because that's going to make the fans cold. But that was obviously with, maybe they had to clear it first with the NFL. Hey, we want to open this up. It's supposed to be really cold, but we'd like to open it up.
I think you'd probably have to do that with the NFL. There'd be certain circumstances where obviously they can't, they'd have to be like, oh, we want to open it up. Oh, wait, our roof is broken, so we can't do it. But other than that, I think they probably have to tell them. The NFL is very controlling.
So if you let's take taxes and all that stuff out of it, you're for it. Just if we're eliminating that from the conversation, you're for it?
If we're eliminating taxes,
just pretending it's not in existence right now for the sake of argument. Because some people are just going with the optics of it, knowing that it's outside. Knowing that, if it does snow, that's going to come down. That makes us tough and all that. And, we're out in the elements watching the game. Nobody cares. I went to a ton of Broncos games, man, growing up. We went all the time. And there was something kind of magical about putting your coveralls on and putting your heavy coat on and putting your jersey over the top of that heavy coat. And it was you're all trying to stay warm. And then when the game's over, you get in your vehicle and thaw out for us. It was a 3.5 hour drive home.
Your hands hurt from clapping.
Yeah.
And they're all red and white because they're dry and crazy.
And it's not like we went to a ton of those, but I remember there was a lot of those games. There was something about it. Everybody looks like they're going to work outside, but they're there for a football game. There's something magical about that.
There is.
But not enough for me to say, yeah, but if it would make for a better football game, which there's no doubt whether the Patriots end up winning or not, the product would have been a little bit better in the second half. I mean, we can all agree on that. Whether Drake May starts figuring out the Broncos defense or whether Jarrett Stidham starts kind of cooking, it would have, the product overall offensively would have been better. 38 minutes after the hour, Michael. We'll take a short break. Before we do that, Lemons Heating and Cooling. Speaking of the cold, maybe you've got a roof over your head, but if it's cold outside and it's cold inside, it's an uncomfortable situation. And that heater is, you got to put your hand right up next to it to see if the air is warm or not. And whenever Kevin Lytle's around, the air is always like red hot. He just walked in studio. I don't normally just say those kind of things. Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of you. HVAC contractor here in Greeley, but services all of Northern Colorado. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. 38 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll catch up with the Kevin Lytle coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Kevin Lytle in the Aloe Fiber Studios just got back from the airport, man. You just flew in. Your boy, are your arms tired?
Yeah, exactly. Flapping them all across the country.
You were at the game last night. You were at Viejas Arena, and that was a That was a tough. That was a weird game because it looked like the Rams, other than the 8-2 start, it looked like the Rams were not very good in that game. Yet I kept looking down at the score. I'm like, it's only a 7-point game. There's a chance. And then it kind of obviously ballooned as we got midway through the second half. But rough outing for Colorado State.
Yeah, going into half at 6-down didn't feel too bad because, CSU hadn't played particularly well. It got into, I think, 11, but then they cut back down late in the half. 6, that's pretty manageable. You just think, okay, start well. Instead, San Diego State, I think, is 8-0 run to start the second half, and that was kind of like curtains right there. And it was familiar in a lot of ways. One, that's how most games at Viejas have gone for CSU of late. And to be fair, how most games at Viejas go for most teams. But beyond just that, a lot of familiar themes for CSU, most specifically turnovers. Mm,
just a lot. There was, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about on this one, when Rex Steiner, I believe, is passing it inbounds, and Kadulis goes to get it and is like running at Rex Steiner, and he just throws it right at him, and it bounces right off of him. I'm like, man, even if he completes that pass, he has nowhere to go with it. That was kind of the tale. These turnovers were just rough.
Yeah, there are a few kind of rough ones like that. There's that. There's one right when JoJo McIver got in for the first time, and he gets in, kind of start retreating and running himself backwards. Yeah. And that partially is on him. Like, obviously, that's a bad choice. But then Kerry Booth kind of got chewed out for not being in the right spot to be an outlet. So some execution like that. Ali, after the game, was saying, just some simple, like, mechanical things of, like, why are we leaving our feet making a pass? Because obviously once you get in the air, if you then see a guy, there's a defender, you're stuck. So some of that, like, you're going to have some turnovers against San Diego State. That's okay. But it's the repeated bad ones. And volume, obviously, but volume and bad ones, too. If all your turnovers are dead ball turnovers, that's going to be okay. You can handle that. But the pick sixes, as Nico Medved always called them, and there were several of them. And, doesn't even count, the Miles Byrd missed dunk where he slammed it 900 feet off the back
rim. I thought it was going to
rim.
You, actually.
It almost did. I mean, I was ready to pull it for three from that. So they just cannot, like... Broken record here. Can't keep having it.
It was funny with Miles Byrd on that. He tried to go one arm it, and then it bounces up to Narnia. And then the next time, which
was like
points to the turnovers.
15 seconds later.
15 seconds later, gets the exact same thing. And that time, he's like in slow motion.
A safety two-handed. Dunk, yeah.
But that's what's tough is how many times have you seen those just terrible turnovers that result in an instant wide-open guy going down, dunk it.
Yep. There's no doubt. Just from watching, you can see you have guys battling, whatever you want to call it, confidence jitters, whatever, of they're worrying too much about making a mistake, and that's helping them make more mistakes, if that makes sense. And you can almost see it on the faces of some guys, almost overthink. I think you even have possessions where they don't turn it over, they get shot or whatever, but it's kind of a stagnated, choppy sequence on offense because they're worried about turning it over, and then it ends up with a bad possession. So there's no doubt it's, kind of compounding itself, of mistake after mistake is, just leading to more.
Yeah, and it's you see it too. It's funny because they were shooting a lot.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of sequences as we progressed through the game where they were starting to – you started to see them pass up a lot of semi-open opportunities.
Yeah, I think – just the offense is a little disjointed. I mean – took 33s. What was it, 8 for 30 is one of their lowest 3-point percentage games of the season. Ali did say after the game they thought, especially in the first half, they missed some pretty good looks. I don't disagree with that. And then obviously there is an element too in the second half when you're down a lot, like just by nature you're gonna shoot some threes. But there's no doubt that even when they weren't turned over, it wasn't a perfect offense performance. It's just tough right now. That was the 6th game of the season with 15 or more turnovers, and 5 of those 6, 5 times in 10 Mountain West games, they've had 15 or more turnovers. So it's hard to win when you do that. Ali, his quote was, it's hard to win here being Viejas when you don't shoot it well. When you don't shoot well and turn over, it's impossible. And
That's what they did last night.
All those things kind of working against you. So now where do you kind of go from here, Kevin? I mean, they're 12-9, they're 3-7 in the Mountain West. You noted this in the Coloradoan after your recap of last night's game, saying, hey, a lighter portion of the schedule is coming up.
Yeah.
So you might be able to get some positives here, but we're not really thinking about like March stuff, are we? We're just thinking, how do you make this season better?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about, yeah, kind of the smaller view of got to turn around. It is definitely fair and legit to say the schedule, they've been on the tough side of the schedule. I mean, everyone gets, you know, that stretch where you have a harder stretch and then an easier one. CSU's heading into, on paper, the easier one. The next eight games, only one is against, I think, one of the top five teams in the league, and that's San Diego State, and that's at Moby. I'm not saying that that's like a guaranteed win or anything, but more winnable, I think we all would agree. And then the others, you know, you get Wyoming twice, you have San Jose State twice. At Air Force, who obviously is terrible. You know, a tricky one is at UNLV. But overall, over the next eight games, a lot of fairly winnable ones. And I think CSU needs at least a 6-2 in the next eight. Because if they do that, they're 9-9 in league play heading into the final week of the regular season. That 9-9 is not where they would want to be, you know, if we had asked in October. But when you look at today, that wouldn't be too bad.
No.
So and I think we're gonna learn a lot about this team because, yes, you know, there's a lot of product out there that we've seen. But on the other hand, it's still fairly new in them having their actual ideal group and rotation. How do they handle themselves against, you know, teams that are more where they're at right now or you know, arguably below them? So they need to take care of business. We're going to learn a lot, I think, in the next, you know, 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, no question. More of that coming up. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock today. We'll wrap up the whole show coming up next with What Did We Learn? Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Kevin, we got like a minute here. What'd you learn, my friend?
Southwest has its new scene policy in action now. Did it for the first time today.
Is it good? Pretty good?
It's fine. I don't want to brag, but I'm an A-list member, so I got a good seat.
You do you do
I did
want
to brag. I just bragged.
You did just brag. Michael, what did you learn today?
I learned that Southwest just has... Oh, sorry.
Well, I learned
and he's an
Kevin.
A member.
I learned that a retractable roof is probably coming, and it sounds like there's no probably about it. It's going to happen. So you might as well just get used to it, Broncos fans. All right, Rams Weekly coming up next, presented by Miranda Simpson at State Farm Insurance. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.